family picture frames.
Who are the people in yours? I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy. In This Together is a podcast where we discuss topics related to today's family. We also go behind the scenes to share stories from our own crooked picture frame.
And we interview guests to discover how their stories can give us insight on becoming families who live, love, and lead well.
Because you're not alone. We're in this together. This episode of the In This Together podcast is brought to you by Lifeway Women. For more information about all the events Lifeway Women has to offer, visit lifeway.com/womensevents.
Welcome back to the In This Together podcast. We are absolutely excited that our friend, author, speaker, Lisa Harper is here.
Troublemaker.
With us. Troublemaker.
Author, speaker, troublemaker. That's what,
and what's even better is she gets to be here at our house with us in studio to be able to do this. And her daughter Missy's off playing with our kids. And so it's just a joy to be able to do this.
What's funny, you say in studio like it's something fancy.
It's very fancy. This is very fancy.
Two little microphones in our little front office.
But they're incredibly nice, elegant. Professional microphones.
Hey, thank you. We are talking today about a new children's book that you have out, you and Missy have out, called Who's Your Daddy? Discovering the Awesomest Daddy Ever. And so I can talk a little bit more about it, but that's what you're here for. So tell us, first of all, we've had you on before, but for those listening who haven't been introduced to you, tell us a little bit about the story, set it up for us, and then tell us how the book came about. That'd be awesome.
Well, y'all know that concise is not my gift. And so I'll try to hustle, Christy. You know, that's going to be almost impossible. I am a very verbose Bible teacher, ride a motorcycle. So I would say, you know, if you grew up half Baptist, you're always drawn to black leather. So anyway, I'm kind of a not stereotypical women's ministry. In women's ministry, but so grateful. I've spent the last 30 years in parachurch. Mostly I was in church for a while, but talking about Jesus, and was just thick as a brick. And I don't mean that in the Commodore's kind of way. I mean that in a just really foolish way in my 20s and 30s, and was really drawn to abusive men, mostly because of a difficult past. And so I miss that window of having biological children, and really thought that I had sabotaged the shot at being a mom. Mm. Not that our God is remotely capricious, but there are consequences to sin. And so I thought, you know, because of all the relational toxicity, I mean, I dated a few good godly guys, but God protected them from me because I was a hot mess on a stick back then. And so by about 40, I was like, you know what, that's just, that, you know, it's my own fault. I'm going to have kids in my life. All my friends have children, but I'm probably never going to get to be a mom. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know it, because our God is a redeemer, the year I turned 51, I got to bring my little girl home from Haiti through the miracle of adoption. So I went through menopause and motherhood at the same time. but it's just the two of us. I'm a single mom. Missy's first mama died of AIDS. Didn't know her dad. Her dad got her mom pregnant and gave her mother AIDS, so he was not involved at all. And he died before Missy was born. But Missy was, the doctors in Port-au-Prince said she just had 2 months to live. So it's just an extraordinary miracle that she's not only alive, but she's thriving. Her HIV is undetectable. But it is just the two of us. And God has been so gracious. You know, he is a father to fatherless and a husband to husbandless. But this little children's book is autobiographical. Y'all know we have the same publisher. Mm-hmm. And about a year ago, the publisher said, we want you to write a children's book. And I was like, y'all, I can barely write regular books. Like, probably I shouldn't go there. And they said, no, we really think you and Missy should write a children's book. And they said, do you have an idea? And I said, just one. Mm-hmm. And I said, the only idea I have is one that actually happened. And it was when Missy was in kindergarten. I was picking her up from school one day. She came walking out of school. And you know when your kids are walking heavy, mm-hmm. and you know it's not their backpack. There's just, their little faces are just kind of covered with sorrow. And she got in the car and I was like, Punkin, what happened? And she said, well, George asked me, his name isn't really George. I don't want to be sued. But this little boy in her class had asked her very innocently, who's your daddy? Because they had Parents Day right around the corner. And he had seen me at school, but he had never seen a man associated with Missy. So he had innocently asked her, who's your daddy? And I said, well, baby, what'd you say? And she said, I told him I didn't have a daddy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you may as well have just stabbed me in the eye with a chopstick. I just was crushed in that moment. And we talked about it before. She's memorized the verse about God being a father of the fatherless. He sets alone in families. But I said, baby, let's go to the park for a little while. And the conversation that was born from her being, you know, really brokenhearted by the question of who's your daddy, the conversation that resulted from that about, baby, you don't have a skin daddy. Mm. And that would be awesome. And we would love to have a skin daddy if that's God's will. But you do have a daddy. Mm. Here's who your daddy is. Here's his character. And so that actually grew into this little book, which Missy would be quick to tell you, it's her book, not my book. Yeah, sweet. I'm just along for the ride, baby.
And it is beautifully illustrated, too.
Yeah, the illustrator did a great job. Her name is Olivia Duchess. She's from the UK. And I wasn't picky about anything except Missy's name being on the cover. And I wanted the illustrations to look like my kid because I'm pathologically biased, but I think my child is the most beautiful child in the world, except for y'all's too. Yeah. I'd say that's a three-way tie, but I wanted the pictures to look like her, and they do.
Oh, they're adorable too. Yeah, yeah, they're absolutely adorable. Because this book is so, I mean, I've literally just read it. So, you know, as you're talking about the whole idea of who's your daddy, right? Yeah. She's asking the question, you know, your daddy takes you to soccer practice and, you know, your daddy can take you to pancakes and that type of thing.
Right.
You know, and then in the book, she literally asked the question, well, you know, does our invisible daddy, you know, what's that look like? And so, yeah, just speak to that because this is an amazing book, not just for, it's an amazing book for single parents.
Yeah.
It's an amazing book for fatherless children.
Right.
It's an amazing book, but also for us as parents who have children, because I want my children to understand who their Heavenly Father is.
Absolutely.
Even more than me, because I'm not the hero of the story.
I was just going to say, you need some of the burden lifted off you, because even as a great dad, there's going to be gaps because you're human. You know, what was the coolest thing is when we were in the middle of writing it, I had a friend read through the manuscript and she just burst into tears. You know, she's my age. Mm. But she said, I have always had a place in me that felt fatherless. And she said, as simple as these truths are, I need these truths. And what has been the sweetest thing, really not about this book, but about my entire process with Missy, because people look at Missy and I forget she's not my biological child, but we don't look exactly alike. She's Haitian and I grew up in Florida and in Tennessee. And so our hair texture is different. Mine's straight, hers curly. But
other than that,
that's it. And we are two peas in a pod, which is so cool the way God did it. But sometimes people look at Missy and they see that she was a literal orphan, that her first mama died in Haiti, that she was abandoned, that she had nobody, that she languished in an orphanage. So she kind of has that orphan label with some people. Mm-hmm. But my kid does not have orphan spirit anywhere in her, in who she is. Mm. I'm the one who had an orphan spirit. And I grew up in the States. My dad left my mom when I was 5 years old. Really ugly, acrimonious divorce followed. My mother remarried my stepfather, who we thought was kind of be, you know, kind of the knight shiny armor, ended up being a very angry agnostic. And so I had some really deep father wounds that I didn't deal with for a long, long time. Mm. And so I think the truth of the matter is I'm the one who needed to be reminded of the permanence of God the Father. I could get God's holiness. You know, I went to seminary and memorized Greek and Hebrew about God.
Wow.
There was still a place deep in my soul that was afraid if I was really, really bad, he would walk away. I didn't believe that theologically, but emotionally, I was always afraid I would see God's back. My kid doesn't have that orphan spirit. So I think, the kind of obvious audience for a book like this is the kids of single parents.
Yeah.
But I really see, even in this time period that we're in history, and you see so many male heroes have been dethroned, and you see so many women who've been legitimately and horrifically wounded. But there's this raw, I need a man who will do what he said he was going to do and is who he says he is. And I'm like, culture is broken down over the whole fatherhood ideal. Yeah. And it's like, we have to go back to the source, and it is God the Father. It is God's immutable, unconditional love for us. And if our identity is not based on the permanence of his character, we are all just going to be wrecked.
I hope everyone, I mean, truly, Lisa, you just speaking those words are some, there's healing. Mm. Like there has been a father wound, and it's not even for those of us that might not have experienced it personally. Like I would say, I have a great father. I wouldn't say I have trauma in relation to a father wound. And yet I feel like as a culture, we're walking around carrying this father wound.
Yeah, I think so too.
This male ideal is gone of the rescuer, of the hero.
Right.
Well, and even for me, so as a dad myself, I'm thinking of how often I fail my kids by not trusting in my Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. You know, because my dad, amazing dad, always there for me. I can count on one hand the number of wrestling matches he missed in my wrestling career.
Wow.
But I didn't have the spiritual covering. His spiritual growth wasn't. Yeah. So for me, now leading my family spiritually, I can genuinely say this. I struggle with trust in my Heavenly Father in terms of what he's calling us to. Because I know that he's called us to something. He's calling us to this thing. And yet I constantly want to resort back to the natural.
Oh, me too.
I want my kids to understand a Heavenly Father that isn't living out of fear, but that says, I got you.
That's right.
I got you.
That's right. It's been one of the smartest things I did as a mom was I bought a new toilet, because as crazy as that sounds, Missy, I know, hang with me a minute. I'll actually get to the point in 30 or 40 minutes.
If you
give me a wide enough runway, I'll eventually land the plane. No, Missy didn't have toilet paper in Haiti. And so when I brought her home, she was just, infatuated with toilet paper. And so, I got to know the plumber really well. And at first it was like sweet. It was like, oh my goodness, that's so sweet. It's kind of gross, but it's sweet. Because she just kept constantly overflowing every toilet in the house. One of the floors got warped. And then we moved to a new house. Well, now it's been, 3 years. I'm thinking, okay, it's time to, to kind of be American now and not continually ruin our plumbing. And so one evening I was walking into my bedroom, and I'm sure your kids are the same. She likes my bathroom and my bedroom better.
Why is that?
Yeah. Well, I think my bathtub's bigger than hers, and she likes to pretend like she's swimming. Well, anyway, I come walking in, and she's just such a pumpkin. She's got this beautiful mocha skin. She's in a, bubble bathroom. It was like something out of a Rockwell painting. It was so cute. And she's usually so joyful. And I walk in, she's like, hey, mom. And I was like, well, hey, baby. Well, I'm walking around the corner to put something away in the restroom, and I step into water. Well, of course, the toilet has been overflowing for quite some time. And I just had it. Long day. So I morph into my mother at her worst day and just start the martyr. You know, that whole monologue of, I have worked so hard and I cannot believe this. And I have told you. I just turn into this gross fishwife. And I'm asking, kind of screaming, whining, rhetorical questions. I can't see Missy. She's behind me around the corner in the bathtub. But I'm like, honey, why didn't you tell me? I have told you that if you'd clogged the toilet to tell me. So I can stop it. I'm pounding the plunger. It's so gross. And then I realized maybe after about 2 minutes of my whiny fit that Missy has not said a word. And so I turn around the corner and catch the most precious but poignant, heartbreaking image of my kid in the bubble bath with tears streaming down her face. And in that moment, I thought, this wasn't a plumbing issue. This wasn't a character issue. This was a plumbing issue. And as soon as, I of course scooped her out of the tub and told her I was so sorry. And as soon as I got her to bed, I called my plumber. And I said, those toilets they have on cruise ships that'll like suck your leg off? They're like air powered. He's like, yeah. And I said, can you get those for a residential application? Are you allowed to buy those? He was like, yeah, I actually installed those, such and such. And I said, how quickly can you replace our toilets with those like supersonic toilets? And I promise you, by the next afternoon, we had a new toilet.
Oh my
God. I had Missy come and do the inaugural you know, I don't know how you call that, but first use of the potty. And when she did, I cheered like she had won the Olympics because I thought, I am not going to break my child's heart over something that doesn't matter. And as I'm cheering over my child flushing, I thought, you know, and I'm not trying to be silly, but I thought, this is who God is for us. On our simplest win, he cheers for us. He puts every stick figure on his refrigerator. He just is in love with his kids. And we characterize him as this unibrowed librarian. And I thought, for so many decades, I didn't think God was proud of me. I thought God tolerated me. I did not think he delighted in me. And I thought, my little girl's going to know a totally different Heavenly Father. Mm. And if I ever marry, the other day she said, Mama, we need a daddy. Mm. And I said, well, baby, you need a daddy. I need a baby daddy. And I said, don't say that at school. Don't say that at school. Because she outs me all the time when I speak inappropriately. But regardless of whether there's ever a skin father in our home, I want her to be so convinced that the king of the universe adores her, that it changes who she is. I don't ever want her to walk in the shame or the insecurity I walked in as a Christian woman with a father wound.
Yeah. You know, I literally, I have a little desk back there, and it's where I sit and I pray. And I can't even tell you what scripture this is, to be honest, because all I wrote down was, it was a portion of a verse.
Yeah.
And it just said, my delight is in her.
Mm, it's Isaiah. Yeah. Her name is Hephzibah. Yeah.
And I don't know why. You know when a piece of scripture just like gets you?
Just
like
slays
it was
you.
Like, I didn't know that was a wound. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know that was the place that I needed. I don't know. I still honestly, as I'm telling you this right now, I haven't worked through that. Mm-hmm. I wrote it on the card, and every time I pull that drawer open, I look at it, and it does something to me, and it lights something in me that I didn't know needed to be lit. And you know, for all of us, for those listening, I mean, I think we need to really, we so often prize the knowledge of God, right? The knowledge of who he is. And we need to have a biblical understanding of who he is and his character and what he's done over history. But beyond that, that's like stepping stone one. And I think we need to start stepping toward the Father who wants us to know him intimately, that we can actually look up at him as if we could imagine his face. And he says, my delight is in her.
Right. Right. To be convinced of his kindness, to me is a place that took me a long time. When I first couple of weeks I had Missy home from Haiti, I went to put my hand on the back of her head. You know, you'll kind of cup their head as assurance. I can't even remember what I was doing, if I was getting something for her or encouraging her. I can't even remember what I was going to do. But when I went to move my hand toward her head, she flinched. And I found out later some of the trauma she endured at the orphanage. But I realized I've got to be really careful this first season until she really completely trusts me as her mama blanc, white mama, that when I raise my hand toward her head, I'm not going to hit her. I'm not going to slap her across the face. And I wept that night in my bed because I thought, what my child has known. I've got to trust that God is going to remove those layers and going to unfold that. So that's not the first place she goes. But that issue for me has been a really long unfolding, that he delights in me. I knew he saved me. And I felt like, even though I wouldn't have gone here theologically, emotionally, I felt like I was always trying to prove that I was worth saving so he wouldn't be disappointed in his choice. And it has taken me a long, long time to realize he will never be disappointed in me. He delights in me. And so much more so than I delight in Missy. I mean, when she does clog the toilet, that's my kid. She can clog it better than yours. You know, I mean, I'm still just utterly besotted with her. That's been one of the sweetest things about parenthood for me, is it has, I think it's shown me in a real tangible way, just the smallest piece of God's delight for me. I know it's a million times more than that, but it at least gives me a practical example.
You know, and I want to remind us, we're talking about a children's book
Yeah.
called Who's Your Daddy? And here we are as adults, and we're talking about the children's book. Mm. And the thing I love about a children's book is that it brings parent and child together. Mm-hmm. And we're on the same journey because mm-hmm. all of us we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and he yeah. is our father. And your adoption story is just like the adoption story of,
right.
of God, the Father himself. Right. And all of us are, you know, we're right. all missies, you know?
Right. Right.
And, but I think for me, as we're having this conversation, we're on this journey. I'm on this journey. I know right now where I've even realized where in our marriage, I'm going to take it to our marriage as well. And I hope I'm okay sharing this, is that we often, and I think this revelation just recently came to me, we often attack one another mm-hmm. that we feel safest with, but
sure.
we attack the reason Christy and I have been experiencing what we have in our marriage is I've just had this revelation is because we've been unkind to ourselves. Mm-hmm. We carry so much shame, or mm-hmm. we carry, I should have, or
right.
and we did a survey of over 700 parents last year. And in our 22-6 parenting community, and we asked them, what's your greatest parenting struggle? Mm-hmm. And three of the top five were, I lose my patience, mm-hmm. I feel inadequate, mm-hmm. and the number one was, I don't have enough time, or I'm too busy.
Right.
And so we're living out of scarcity. We're
right.
not living out of abundance.
Right.
But yet when you look at Genesis 1, and you look at the creation story, the Hebrew day starts in the evening. We are created to live in abundance, not out of scarcity.
Right.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not right. be in want.
Right.
But yet we live as parents constantly in this want.
Oh, yeah.
And then we feel ashamed because we're not living up to, I feel inadequate. I don't have enough time.
Right.
I lose my patience. And so we never, so then we're unkind to ourselves. And I think it requires, and I'm asking you as I'm, this is kind of a rhetorical question, but I'm also mm-hmm. throwing it your way. You know, I think that this understanding of meeting, like, how do we experientially mm. experience the Father mm. when he delights in us? How do we show our kids
yeah.
that? Because I think this isn't just Bible, Sunday school, like,
no.
do this, this, and there's, no. there's like an, we have to experience it as parents.
Yeah. I'm going to backtrack for just a second. Shocker. But I love that you brought up Genesis 1, because the thing that slays me about Genesis 1, one of the things, and two, is that God created rest before the fall. And I always thought rest, when you talked about living in abundance and not being scarcity and busy, because I am an extremely busy woman.
You are.
But to realize rest was not his accommodation for human weakness. Rest was perfection. And I think, oh, that just over and over again, over again, that slays me that that was before the fall.
Right.
And so I have made more mistakes in 4.5 years than I think anybody has a right to as a parent. But the thing I
we'll challenge you on that.
Well, yeah, we can
yeah. go to battle, but
yeah, I was going to say whoever wins gets margarita, but then that probably wouldn't be right on this broadcast. Only a virgin one, only a virgin one. But I'll tell you what I have realized is what I do well, and I do it really well, is gratitude. I am so stinking grateful because I didn't deserve to be Missy's mom. I'd squandered those years. I'd served them up to locust on a silver platter. And God in his kindness said, I'm not going to let you miss this. Psalm 84:11, no good thing does he withhold from him whose walk is upright, or her who often stumbles. I think gratitude, when you talk about it, how do we live in it, gratitude is the fruit of experiencing God's kindness, but it's also the fertilizer. Mm. And when I feel like I'm not resting in his kindness, resting in his delight, when I go to the very simple, practical, Lord, let me begin to tell you what I'm grateful for. Mm. Let me begin to tell you what you've done for me today. Let me begin to, I mean, it's so basic, but it's like it recalibrates my heart right back to, he loves me. I'm reminding myself of what he's done. It's kind of an emotional Ebenezer. And mm-hmm. I'm telling you, last night I was in this place of going, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. And I set down everything I was doing. And Missy had asked me, you know, two or three times, hey, Mama, will you look this? Hey, Mama. And I thought, you know what? She's not going to ask me another time. And I said, baby, come here. And we went out and sat by, you know, in the backyard. And she sat on my lap. and we read a book really, really slow. Ellie Holcomb's new book on Sing. It's awesome children's book. Missy loves that book. We read that book all the way through, and she said, "Mommy, can we read again?" I said, "We absolutely can read it again." Mm. I had so much energy to finish my work at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I really did, because I thought there's enough time. There's enough time, and what doesn't get done won't get done. But I can't recapture that time with her. So I'm not saying I'm always patient mama, or I'm always mama who makes Jesus and the Missy my number one and two priorities. But when I go to a place of gratitude, it makes that much easier.
Children, war. These two words should not go together. Imagine your child being orphaned because of war, or being kidnapped and forced to become a child soldier in a rebel army. Who would help them? Exile International provides healing for 1,300 war-affected youth in Africa through art-focused trauma care, education, and discipleship. We empower child survivors of war to become leaders for peace. Join us in our Give Up to Give Back campaign. What can your family give up in order to bring healing to children wounded by war? Visit exileinternational.org/give.
It starts like a burn sound, but okay. And then it keeps going.
Kind of like sss.
No, like burn, burn, burn.
Okay.
It goes on into the air, wet dust over right to my ears. Take a down my lesson, you remember swing. Wet dust over right to my ears. Sound waves float in different ways. Sound waves float in different ways. A tube is picture with a football crowd. A whisper is soft to rock a bear as well. Ears hear traffic in the listening time. Mom gone, get them there at the finishing time. Some are so loud you hold the ears when you're near them. Some are so loud you can barely hear them. I went to home and running through the air. Red to summer to my ears.
Lyndon, that was awesome.
Thank you.
Like, you knew the whole thing. That was perfect.
Thank you.
You might need to send them a video, because they might want you to do it on the TV show, because that was, like, awesome.
I think it's called Sound Waves of Hearing.
Oh, I really like it.
Thank you.
You're super good. And Missy likes to sing, but she mostly likes, she likes worship songs, and she likes Katy Perry. So she really loves, and she loves the Black Eyed Peas.
I don't know what's that.
Well, they're trashy, but they have a good beat.
Who do you like?
What music do you like, baby? Oh, I like Shake It Off, too. You know, she was in Nashville a couple of nights ago. A friend of mine went to hear her and said she was incredible.
And my favorite one to sing is, what is it? I'm Still Standing.
Oh, I like I'm Still Standing, too. I like. Do you like the Greatest Showman soundtrack?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's like your favorite, right?
Yes, ma'am.
What's your favorite on the Greatest Showman?
Never Enough.
You want to sing a little bit of it?
I don't really know it.
Oh, Missy, you know that whole song you were playing. Do you start in Never Enough?
Never Enough. Never, never. Never enough.
Landon, you should sing too. Never, it'll be like never
enough. For me. For me.
For me.
For me.
Sometimes dogs come running when we do that, Landon. Because, you know, real high pitched, off key dogs like that. I know. It's shocking, isn't it?
Wow.
I know.
Do they like shock them like a.
I know. I'm surprised electricity didn't hit.
Whoa.
So we are welcoming Missy, who wrote the book, Who's Your Daddy, as well, onto the podcast. And Missy, I want to ask you, and that was our son, Landon. He's also here with headphones on.
It's nice to be here. It's nice to be here.
We are so honored to have you. What would you like to tell the audience about Who's Your Daddy?
Well, God is forever going to be my daddy, and he's never going to leave me. Where is your daddy? in heaven. Heaven? Who goes in heaven? God.
Who do you know in heaven, Landon?
Pappy.
Pappy, yeah. And we talk a lot about Pappy being with Jesus right now, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that your granddaddy, baby? You call him Pappy?
Yes.
I like that name.
Yeah, that was my dad.
You know what? Missy's first mama, her name is Marie. Before I got to adopt Missy, she's in heaven too. Wouldn't it be cool if she and Pappy were friends?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be cool. I bet they are.
I bet they are right now.
And there's Nana, and there's a dog there too.
Yeah, we think there's dogs in heavens too.
Yeah, we do.
That's amazing.
Hey, Missy, what's your favorite part about the book? What do you love?
That God is being our daddy.
That God's being our daddy. What's your favorite picture in the book?
That I'm smiling.
That you're smiling. Do you know what? I don't think I have ever seen you not smile. Your smile is so beautiful.
I like that she gave you a big afro. That's my favorite way that when you wear your hair big. That's my favorite.
But I don't like it when my mom calls me Peanut.
Or Toots Magoots or Squirty McTurdy.
Toots Magoots. So let me ask you guys this. This is probably more a question for you. You guys wrote this book together. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're huge on figuring out, even for ourselves, what our how we serve Jesus, how we bring glory to God as a family.
Yeah.
What would be your wisdom or advice to other families listening who say, Missy is being used by God for His glory.
Yeah.
And I think we often, we might sell our kids short.
Yeah.
So often, as it relates to bringing God glory. What does that look like for you, and what advice do you give other
parents?
Well,
I'll cheat and tell you that the best parenting advice I have I got from Beth Moore. I was invited to be on this mom's broadcast. Maybe I'd had Missy for 3 months, so I thought, hilarious. They're having me on a broadcast to give advice on being a parent, and I've been one for exactly 90 days. but when I was on that broadcast, I was with Priscilla Shire and Beth Moore, and I love them both. And they're both really fabulous moms. Beth is now grandmom. And so after the broadcast, when I'm sure I plagiarized somebody to have something good to say, some good advice, but I asked Beth, I said, Beth, if you could distill your advice to me as not a young mom, but a new mom, what is one takeaway you'd give me? And she paused for a long time, and I thought she was pondering something in Hebrew. And then she said, just try to say yes more than you say no. And you know how you go, wow. Literally the next day, Missy and I are back home in Nashville, Tennessee. She's teeny tiny. She was malnourished when I got her, so it took her a while to even make the growth chart, unlike her mama. But she was reaching up for a jug of orange juice that I knew there's no way. I mean, there's no way she can grab that. It's going to go everywhere. And so, of course, my natural instinct was to race behind her and fix it and grab the jug. And Beth's advice ran through my head, just say yes more than say no. And I thought, what's the worst thing that could happen? Because Missy couldn't see me. I was behind her. And I thought, well, she makes a mess in the kitchen, so I've got a mop. And somehow, some way, it defied gravity. Missy got that giant jug of orange juice, and her teeny little five-year-old self somehow got it and was able to put it on the land, on the island. And she turned around and saw me standing there, and I will never forget the grin she gave me, because it was that, I did it, Mom! And I thought, I'm so glad I didn't try to fix it and keep her from making a mess. And so that has come back to me hundreds of times in the last 4.5 years as her mom. Just give her a chance, give her a shot. If she makes a mess, so what? Say yes more than you say no.
Wow, that is so good. And for even us as parents, or even me as a child of God, to see myself in the Father's eyes. Because I so often will tell my kids no, or wait a second, or mm-hmm. I have my agenda.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is I'm limiting them. I'm limiting who God's calling them to be in that process. And so I think that idea of saying yes. Do I do that often, kiddo?
What?
Do I say wait a second, or do I say hold on, let me do it, instead of letting you try to do it on your own?
Say just every blue moon, Dad.
Do I do that to you?
First one.
The first one. Yeah. Oh, kiddo. Well, Lisa, Missy, thank you guys so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
We so loved having you. Can we do this again?
Yes, sir.
Yes, awesome. Sir. Yes, sir. Miss Lisa.
Miss Lisa, what's your favorite color?
My favorite color would probably be kind of a mix of green and blue. So kind of like if I could mix your shirt with your daddy's shirt, that would be my favorite color. Some people call it teal.
Wow.
Mm. What's your favorite color?
Oh, blue, red, and purple. Blue, red, and orange.
Like in that order, like blue first, then red, then orange?
Yeah, my favorite one than the other ones is blue.
I love blue too. But that would be a pretty swirl. Blue, orange, and purple swirl, that would be a good looking color.
Wow. And you know what else my favorite color? There's one more.
Oh, what is it?
Golden.
Like when the sun, when the sun's coming up, that gold color. Yeah. That's beautiful. What's your favorite color, baby? I know them. They're two.
Pink and blue.
And they're on your toenails right now, aren't they?
My sister's favorite, my co-host's favorite, red and blue, purple and blue.
Kennedy, what's your favorite color? Can you tell us?
Kennedy, your barrette, the color of your barrette is pink. Is that your favorite color?
Pink and purple.
Pink and purple. I love those too. I love those too, baby.
Thank you all so much for joining us this week. We really want you to check out, we'll put it in the show notes, Who's Your Daddy? Discovering the Awesomest Daddy Ever by Missy and Lisa Harper. We love you guys and we so thank you for being on.
Thank you so much.
All right. Check out InThisTogetherPodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button right there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us, and they help people learn about the podcast. And we would love, too, if you'd find us on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy, or our website, drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and enjoy the moment.